This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Amma ba'd. The first few verses of Surah An-Naml describe a very common phenomenon in the Qur'an, where Allah praises the believers and says, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ. Those who pray and give zakah. And today's khatira is going to be about zakah. As is our custom every single year, we talk about, very briefly, a reminder to ourselves about the importance of zakah and how we calculate zakah. And today, inshaAllah ta'ala, I'll go over some of the more important rulings, and a handout is also being distributed that will, inshaAllah, summarize the main fiqh rulings of zakah. Realize, my dear brothers and sisters, that zakah is one of the fundamental pillars of our religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the Qur'an by describing the believers as those who believe in the ghayb, and they establish the salah, and they give zakah. And in over 70 verses in the Qur'an, Allah describes the believers as those who give zakah. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. Those that are active, fa'il, in giving zakah. When Allah speaks about non-Muslims converting to Islam, Allah says the sign of them converting to Islam is فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ. If they repent from worshipping false gods, and they pray and they give zakah. So Allah made zakat a necessary requirement for being a Muslim. And in the beautiful passage about Isa, when he spoke from his mother's arms, Isa said as a baby, the Prophet Jesus said as a baby, وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّا. Allah commanded me to pray and give zakah as long as I live. So there is no time limit on zakah, meaning zakah is due all the time we are alive. Now in Allah's mercy, He has made three types of charity. The first is nafil or supererogatory, whenever you want to give. There's no time limit, there's no quantity, whenever you want to give. The second is the zakah of our money. That's what I'm going to talk about today. And the third is zakatul fitr, and I'll talk about that inshallah closer to the end of Ramadan, because zakatul fitr is due only in Ramadan. The zakat concept in Islam is not a tax. It is a means of purifying our wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ. Take from them their charity that will cause them to be purified and will cause their money to become clean. So the meaning of zakat linguistically is that which cleanses. Zakah, to purify. So zakat purifies our money. When we pay zakat, the rest of our money becomes pure and healthy and wholesome. When we do not pay zakat, then that zakat money becomes filthy and evil for us. Allah says in the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ يَكْنِزُونَ الذَّهَبَ وَالْفِضَّةِ. Those who hoard, they are greedy to give, and they have their wealth and their gold and their silver, and they do not give in the way of Allah, then tell them they shall face a severe torment and penalty. That very wealth that they continue to hoard up, Allah says, it will be burnt in the fire of hell, and then it will be used to cauterize them, to burn them up. The very wealth that they thought would benefit them, it will become a means of punishment. So my dear brothers and sisters, very briefly, obviously, in a short khatira, I cannot go over all of the rules, but alhamdulillah, I'm available any time after the salah. Please come up to me and ask any specific questions. Zakat is obligatory on every single Muslim once a year if they own more than the minimum amount. And inshallah, for most of us in this masjid, all of us own more than the minimum amount or the nisab. And realize that zakat is due on the lunar year, not on the solar year. One of the most common mistakes Muslims make is they link their zakat to the solar year. And of course, zakat is linked to the lunar year. And it is healthy and is Islamic, and it makes sense to link zakat to one of the days of Ramadan, so that we are in the better spirit of giving, so that we get extra reward. So it is very useful to link zakat to one of the days of Ramadan. The 1st of Ramadan, the 15th of Ramadan, the 20th of Ramadan. Set one day in your mind, and let that be your annual zakat day every single year. And then you will calculate your zakat based on that. There are four types of income that are zakatable, that you give zakat on. Two of them are not relevant to pretty much all of us here, and that that is agriculture and livestock. If you are a farmer, if you own livestock, then come to me and I'll go back to my books and see. I haven't memorized that for the last 15 years. But if you are a farmer, you own livestock, or you have produce, then that's a different zakat. Otherwise, for most of us, we only have to deal with two types of zakat. The first is wealth. Money, gold, silver, currency. And the second is merchandise, if we are businessmen buying and selling goods. So if we own stores, if we have anything that we're buying and selling as merchandise, if we're buying and selling houses, we're buying and selling cars, so then we also have the zakat of the second type, and that is the business commodities. And if we have more than the nisab, we have to give zakat. The nisab has been set by the sharia, explicitly by the Prophet ﷺ, to be 85 grams of gold or 595 grams of silver. Of course, grams is the modern term. Our Prophet ﷺ used mithqal and whatnot, and we have calculated what is a mithqal in modern times. And we have calculated that the Prophet ﷺ said 85 grams of gold or 595 grams of silver. And roughly, in our times, that comes out to $3,500 in gold and $326 in silver. By the way, once upon a time, these two quantities were the same. That 85 grams of gold equaled 595 grams of silver. When the Prophet ﷺ said this, they were the same amount. But of course, because of inflation, because of the differences in the currencies between gold and silver, these are all very different now. And our scholars say, when it comes to wealth, currency, when it comes to money, we go with the lesser of the two nisabs, and in this case that is silver. So if we have in our bank account or in our possessions or owning more than $326 for the lunar year, then zakat is obligatory on us. Now, the zakat that is due on gold and silver is 2.5%, and the same goes for currency. And this only applies to currency and gold and silver. Zakat is not due on any other precious stones. If a woman has a necklace of diamond or pearls or anything, this is personal jewelry. And personal jewelry that is not gold and silver does not have zakat. Now, of course, if you're a businessman and you buy and sell diamond and buy and sell pearl necklaces, then there will be zakat because you're a businessman. But if you're owning this as a woman or as a man who has anything that is a personal, you own an expensive watch or whatever, there is no zakat on your personal items other than gold and silver. So the correct position, and there is a controversy, gold and silver jewelry, you do pay zakat on it. Now there is a controversy, the position that I follow, and this is the, inshallah, stronger opinion, that a woman who owns gold and silver, there is zakat due on the gold and silver that she owns if it is above this nisab amount. If she does not have this much, then there is no zakat. So a lady, every woman should know how much is it that she owns. She can go to any jeweler and get it weighed so that she can understand, is it above the nisab or less than the nisab? And if it is above the nisab, then she must give zakat on it. Now, I'm going to say something that the brothers are going to like and the sisters are not going to like. Unfortunately, it is a fact. I cannot change the sharia. When a woman owns jewelry, she is the one that must pay zakat on the jewelry and not her husband. There is no, what is it in the IRS when you're married, you have the tax break? What is that? Huh? The joint tax break, right? There is no joint tax break in the sharia, right? There's no joint zakat in the sharia. The man gives his zakat, the woman gives her zakat. So if the woman has more than the nisab, then she is the one that is obliged to give zakat on that. Now, if the husband wants to give of his generosity, alhamdulillah, that's great. It is allowed for the husband to give. And that is his gift to his wife that he's giving on behalf of her. And inshallah, if she's not earning, then husbands, honestly, it is a part of being a gentleman. If she's not earning her own money, and you are the one earning the money, and she has only gold jewelry, then inshallah, I will say it is good and it is mustahab and it's Islamic for you to volunteer to give. But the asl or the basic rule that I cannot change, and this is the sharia's rule, if a woman owns it, she has to give zakat on it. It's not the responsibility of her husband to give zakat. But if he volunteers and is generous, then alhamdulillah, that is good for his deen and dunya, definitely. Definitely better for his dunya as well. When it comes to cash, how does one calculate zakat? Now this is, to be honest, the more technical method of calculating zakat is so complicated. And I'll just explain it in 1 minute. If you don't understand, I'm not expecting. I'm going to move to the easier way. The more technical and the more accurate is that It is as if for those of us that are salaried employees, which is 99% of us, we have a regular salary. Salaried employees, you get a set amount every single month. And zakat is due on, not on the income, but on the remaining amount that you've had for a year. This is the mercy of the sharia. Zakat is not based on your income. Zakat is based on what you have left after the expenditure. After you've paid your rent, fed your kids, paid for what you need to pay for, what do you have left? So technically, imagine if you had 12 bank accounts for every month of the Islamic calendar. So Muharram, Safar, Shawwal, Rabiul Awwal, you have 12 bank accounts. And for every month you spent, then the next Muharram comes. What do you have left in the Muharram bank account from last Muharram? You would give zakat on that amount. Then the next Shawwal, how much you have left? That amount. Who amongst us can do this? It's too complicated. Because of this, our modern scholars, and the Rabit al-Alam is one of them, the OIC, which is the largest group of ulama, they have given an easy way and they say, inshallah, it is permissible. And that is that the average worker who has a regular salary, that's 99% of us, we know how much we're getting. The easiest thing to do is to simply to choose your zakat date, 20th of Ramadan. And on that date, and Allah knows you're not playing games and you didn't change anything before that, you're just living your lifestyle. On that date, what you have on the 20th of Ramadan, if that is your date, you just calculate that amount and you give 2.5%. What is in your bank account? How much you have cash at your house? What is your actual liquid assets that you have of actual cash commodities? We're getting to stocks and 401ks in a while. And you simply pay 2.5% of zakat on that. We already said there is no zakat on personal items. Your house, there's no zakah. The cars that you drive, no zakah. Your furniture, your clothes, your watches, that which you use for your daily life, your pots and pans, no zakat on that. So whatever you have that you're using in your house, that is not zakatable. For those that have businesses, so you're buying and selling cars, let's say you own a car lot, and you're buying and selling cars, they must pay zakat on the price of the cars on the day that they're giving zakat, the 20th of Ramadan. That will be their zakat. So they own 50 cars on that day. Now suppose the day before, on the 19th of Ramadan, it just so happened somebody walked in and purchased 30 of those cars. And he went down to 20 out of 50. Qaddar Allah. Okay, he will pay zakat on the 20. He will pay zakat on whatever is left. And suppose he had a bad streak and nobody's coming for weeks and he has more quantity of cars than typically he has. Again, Qaddar Allah. Allah knows he's not playing with the sharia. Whatever is in his warehouse, in his merchandise, whatever he owns, that will be the zakat, 2.5%, because that's his property. He owns it. That's what he actually has. And so it so happened on that day. Same goes if you buy and sell houses. If you're in the market of flipping houses, whatever house you have or houses you have that are meant to be sold, on that day of zakat, you calculate 2.5% of the actual cost of the house and you give zakat for that. However, if you rent out houses, i.e. you're not intending to sell the house, you're simply leasing out the house. In this case, the house is not a business commodity because you're not selling it. Rather, the income will be added to your bank account and whatever is left, you will give zakat on the income from the house and not the actual price of the house. Another big controversy in our times is the stock market. And there are literally four or five opinions from modern scholars about this issue. And this is a very, very gray area. Ask the scholar of your choice and ask people that are knowledgeable. I have always said I'm not an expert in Islamic finance. I simply read and convey to you what I believe is the majority opinion. There is a range of opinions. And one opinion that seems to make sense to me, and Allah knows best, is that we look at those stocks that are meant for long term, that are not meant for day-to-day trade, and we don't have to pay zakat on those that are long-term investments, that we're simply saving for a rainy day. We will give zakat when we actually cash that stock out. And this is different than the day trader who goes and he buys and sells in the same day. He goes and buys and sells every week. He's looking at the price every single day. So those that are actively engaging in the stock market, they take the ruling of basically business commodities. because they're engaged on a daily or weekly, they're looking, they're buying, they're aggressive if you like. Those that are passive and they just simply put it in the stock and they're not really looking at the prices on a daily level, and of course there's a bit of a gray area, who is active, who's passive. I'm giving the two extreme examples, and they're in the middle, there are many in the middle, and this is where the controversy occurs. But one opinion is that long-term investments are simply like a house that you have. You pay zakat on the dividends and not on the actual amount. And short-term investments, you will treat them as business property, so you will give 2.5% of that. As for 401k plans, then this is something that I have done actually quite a lot of research in this one area because I was bombarded with questions, and I am now confident to say that insha'Allah ta'ala, what seems to be the correct position, there is no zakat on 401k if you don't have unfettered access to it. i.e., if there is a penalty for you to access your 401k, then you don't technically have access to it, so it's not your full milk. It's not your full milk in Arabic means ownership. You do not have full ownership of 401k. So you will only give zakat when you have full ownership, and that means when you can cash out. So the day you can cash out without any penalty, when you reach whatever the age is, that day is when you have to give zakat for 1 year. Because now you get this proper, this amount, so you'll give zakat for 1 year from that 401k. And zakat can be and should be given to distant relatives, but not to ascendants and descendants and spouses. Okay? Zakat can and should be given to relatives, cousins, uncles, aunts, siblings. You can give zakat to your siblings if they need zakat. And it is encouraged to do this if they need zakat. But you cannot give zakat to people above you or below you. Why? Because you are wajib to take care of them. You cannot give zakat to your mother, you have to take care of her. You cannot give zakat to your children, you have to take care of them. That's a part of your responsibility. So you cannot pay zakat to ascendants and descendants. You can pay zakat to even siblings if they are in need of zakat. And zakat should be distributed, some locally and some internationally. And this is from the sunnah. In fact, some even say it is sunnah to give all locally. And there is a bit of a controversy here. Inshallah, one can say that for most of us who have relatives and needs in other lands, and we are also living in this land, it seems that the strongest case should be you should split your zakat up. Some of it should be local, and yes, some should be local. Some should be local. So find in Memphis where to give zakat. And every masjid, we have it here, and Masjid Salam has it, and all of the masajid, they have zakat funds. I strongly encourage you to give some of your zakat locally here. Memphis, we MIC have a zakat fund where we give to local people, and inshallah one of the khatiras, one of the zakat committee will come and show you what we've done in the last year. We have helped, alhamdulillah, hundreds of people locally here in Memphis. Sisters who have been kicked out of their houses, people that have basically passed away, they've left children, they have nowhere to go to, they've come to the masajid. So we need definitely your funds locally as well. So give some funds to the local masajid. We at MIC have a zakat fund. Send some zakat to overseas, your relatives and whatnot. Give some to the Islamic charities that accept zakah, and the correct position, inshallah, zakat cannot be given to institutions, to build institutions. You cannot give zakah to build a masjid, to build a hospital. You can give zakah to the poor people who need to go to the hospital. You can give zakah to the orphans. But the stronger opinion as of yet that the majority hold to, you cannot give zakah to build the hospital. This is a gray area, I'll say it. And there are people that hold various positions, and I myself am ambivalent, but definitely the majority opinion as of yet by the scholars of our times, we don't want to open this door, because if we were to open this door, then it's going to cause a lot of chaos. It makes a lot more sense. Pay zakat to the actual needy people. Somebody needs to go to the hospital for an emergency operation, give him the zakat. And this will clear the door. Otherwise, we all open up into a gray area, Pandora's box, that it's best not to get into. And the final point, haram money. If you have interest money, if you have money that is not allowed for you to have, then there is no concept of zakat. It is ludicrous. You cannot give zakat on haram money. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba." Allah is pure, and He only accepts that which is pure. So if you have haram money, you need to get rid of it. There is no concept of paying zakat on haram money. Get rid of that haram money and expect Allah to reward you for getting rid of it. You're not going to get rewarded for sadaqah of that money. It's not your money in the first place. You will get rewarded for showing honesty, for showing guilt, for showing, "I don't want this money because it is haram." Allah will reward you for that. But you're not going to get rewarded for the actual money because you shouldn't have had it in the first place. There's one more point. I don't have time to go into it. And that is the concept of debts. And this is a longer topic. If anybody has specific questions, they can come to me. But to be very simplistic, a strong debt, i.e. a debt that is dire and it's immediate, you can take it into account when you add or subtract your wealth. If you owe somebody $10,000, you can take this into account and deduct it if they want it back immediately. A weak debt, they don't want it back immediately. It's there, no big deal. If you have a mortgage, whether it's halal or haram is besides the point. It's a weak debt. It's a weak debt. It's going to be years, decades for it to pay off. You don't take your mortgage into account, or else all of us who have a mortgage, we will not have any money to pay zakat on. So we differentiate between strong debt and weak debt. Strong debts are taken into account. And weak debts, those that are long term or we're not expecting immediate, they are not taken into account. And inshallah, I'm here for any more detailed questions. Jazakumullahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.